Well, good evening. Thank you, Grant, so much for reading what is a beautiful, wonderful psalm that we're hoping to get into. As Grant read that, there was one word which came up again and again in that psalm, wasn't there? The word blessed, blessed and blessed, blessed. I wonder what comes into your mind when you think of the word blessed. I once asked that in a Bible study and someone said, Brian Blessed. Maybe you think of that. Who knows? Maybe you think of an elderly father blessing his child. Blessed are you, my child. The word that dominates this psalm is the word blessed or blessed. It's also how the whole book of Psalms kicks off, isn't it? Blessed is the man who. And blessed is a very important word in the Old Testament. It is the word Asher, as in Jacob's son, remember, Asher. And unlike in English, it means really blissfulness, happiness. Everyone has a different idea, don't they, about what blessedness, what happiness means. Ogden Nash, the poet, he said, happiness is having a scratch for every itch. But not everyone thinks that happiness is a good thing. There was a comedian called Henry Youngman. He's supposed to have said, well, what's the use of happiness? It can't buy you money. Maybe you agree with that or disagree. And then, of course, Oscar Wilde, the oh-so-quotable Oscar Wilde. He said, some cause happiness wherever they go. Others, whenever they go. Psalm 128 is a wisdom psalm. It is building on the themes of Psalm 127, and it was used by the pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. And it is there to tell us who is happy, who is blessed, and what true happiness looks like. So let's get into this psalm. We have two parts. The first part is a statement of blessing, a statement of happiness. And the second part is a prayer of happiness. So first, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? To fear the Lord does not mean to be somehow afraid of the Lord, to run away from God. But no, it means rather that we are so in awe of God's majesty that we approach him with great reverence and with great respect. It means you take God seriously and put him first in your life so that you do what God wants you to do. You live your life with reverence. You live your life with reference as well as reverence to God. Now, that doesn't just mean acknowledging God, but it means getting up and walking in his ways. Now, there's a reason that walking is a favorite metaphor of the Psalms. You cannot be a passive believer if you are actively walking in God's ways. So the question for us is, are we walking or are we just lying down in our faith? But here's the happy part, the blessed part. If we fear the Lord and walk in his ways, we'll be blessed. As Charles Spurgeon, who stood here many years ago and had preached, he said, we must reverence the ever-blessed God before we can be blessed ourselves. And if we do revere God, we will indeed be blessed. How will we be blessed? We'll be blessed in work, verse 2. We'll be blessed in home, verse 3. And blessed in family, also verse 3. I wonder what you thought as Grant read those three blessings out. Because before we look at those three areas in particular, I think we have to temper what's said in this psalm with a wider biblical theology of blessing. The first thing to say is that as a wisdom psalm, Psalm 128 fits in with the normal Old Testament character consequence theology we find in Proverbs. That is, if you follow God, you'll get good stuff. You'll get blessings, you'll get prosperity, you'll get family. Things will go well with you. That's what this psalm and Proverbs teaches. Follow God, life good. However, that's not all that the Bible has to say on the matter, is it? Because the Bible itself answers the question, well, what happens in, say, 10% of cases where character consequence theology, quote, doesn't work, where following God doesn't lead to blessing and prosperity and getting rich? Well, the Bible's answer is in two places. One place is another wisdom book, the book of Job, that we sang some lines from already this evening, which is there to answer the question, well, why do the righteous sometimes suffer? That doesn't fit with character consequence theology. And the other place is Psalm 73, which answers the question, why do the wicked prosper? That doesn't fit the Proverbs type theology, does it? So first thing, a biblical theology of blessing is wider than just Psalm 128. But the second thing is, obviously, the categories of blessing here, food supply, fruitful wife, lots of sons, they were signs of God's blessing for a man in a traditional man-centered ancient Near Eastern society. They would not be the categories of blessing that we might think of today, and so they do require some careful handling for today. So with those two caveats in mind, let's think about God blessing our work. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. So interpreting carefully for today, this is not some promise of instant wealth. Click your fingers and there's a wad of cash there. But it's saying that if you fear the Lord, you will find fulfillment in your work, whether that is paid work or unpaid work, and that your work will provide for your needs, your wider needs. God's promise to bless your work is especially striking when we remember that God put a curse, didn't he, on human work and labor after Adam and Eve sinned back in Genesis. But God wants you to enjoy the fruit of your work. Now that was his plan from the very beginning, wasn't it? Even before Genesis 2 and even before Genesis 3 and Genesis 2, where he says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So before Adam and Eve sinned, they worked the garden and they knew God's blessing on their work. It was productive, it was blissful, it was good work with good rewards because it was done for God. And as we learned last week in Psalm 127, without God, work becomes toil. You will not find true blessing, you'll not find true satisfaction in your work apart from God being in it. So fearing the Lord means God will bless your work and your attitude towards your work will be godly. But fearing the Lord also means, verse 3, that God will bless your marriage. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. This speaks of both fruitfulness and faithfulness. Well, the vine is a picture of fruitfulness. Remember God's, again, initial blessing on Adam and Eve when he first created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. God's blessing is related to productivity and fruitfulness. And interpreting for today, that doesn't just mean bearing children, the more the merrier, but it means having a full and productive life, whether we are married or not, whatever state we are in, whatever marriage status we have. The picture here is of a beautiful vine that is thriving, flourishing, fruitful, productive. And then there is faithfulness. The fact that the vine is within the house speaks of faithfulness in marriage specifically. This is in contrast to the adulterous wife described in Proverbs 7, who is never at home. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. What's the sign of a happy marriage according to Psalm 128? Faithfulness and fruitfulness. Who could ask for anything more in marriage? And today, the point is, if you fear God, he will bless you with faithfulness and fruitfulness, perhaps in a different area of your life, or if you are married, in marriage. But it doesn't have to just be applied to marriage. So fearing God and walking in his ways leads to blessing in work. It leads to blessing in marriage, but also blessing in your family. And again, we're all in different situations, family-wise, but it says, your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. You'll know that the olive tree is a basic part of agriculture in Israel. And here, again, it's a picture of productivity and blessing. So the idea is a mature, established olive tree, yourself with young shoots springing up out of the soil all around you. This was a common sight in Israel. The olive shoots represent youth and energy, and above all, promise. Promise. So when you sit down to eat with your family, and if you live with your family, I hope you do, those are important times. Your children are the hope and they are the promise of the future, sitting around your table. Slow-growing trees, 10 to 15 years before they bear any fruit. But once established, they need very little in the way of maintenance. They need very little in the way of supervision. They will produce fruit by themselves for decades to come. And thinking about children, if you are a parent of children of whatever age, we do need to be patient as we raise children in the training and the instruction of the Lord. But in all your discipline and all your training will pay off, no matter what age we are or no matter what age they are. So this first section of Psalm 128, it paints a beautiful picture for us, doesn't it? A godly husband, a faithful wife, and eager children full of promise. All this is an Old Testament sign of God's blessing in the home. God's provision in creation. Yes, corrupted by the fall, but God reversing the curse, making them actually a blessing for us. As one commentator said, make God your home, and he will make your home a happy home. But interpreting for today, you might not necessarily consider 12 sons and no daughters at all around your table a blessing. Who knows, maybe you can think of examples specific to your life of God's blessing. It doesn't have to be family or home related, but think of fruitful, faithful, productive blessings that come from fearing the Lord. What does God's blessing look like in your life, in your context? Just a short silence to consider that before we look at the last two verses. Thank you, God, for every blessing you give. Amen. Well, as well as blessings for all who fear the Lord, we also have, second, a prayer of blessing for those who fear the Lord. So this is a prayer of blessing, something that could be said over the pilgrims as they ascended to Jerusalem, something that we can receive for ourselves. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So this is a prayer of blessing, recognizing that God's blessing must be received as a gift of God. And we receive things by asking for them in prayer. There are, again, three parts to this prayer of blessing. And they are, first, may God bless you all the days of your life. So this is a prayer of blessing, not just for a time, not just for a season, but it's for the duration of your whole life. It's for all time. And notice that the blessing comes from Zion, the place where God dwells, the place where God is, the place where God meets with his people. Jerusalem in the Old Testament, but the heavenly Jerusalem for us. That's where God resides. But it means that blessing in your life comes as you meet daily with the Lord in his presence. And we recognize that the Holy Spirit goes with us to help us as we meet with God every day. Second, this prayer says, may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. In other words, for us, may God bless you within, look around, the community of his people. That's also why this psalm finishes with peace, shalom, well-being be upon Israel. God is not only concerned with individuals, he is also concerned for his people corporately, together, and therefore so should we be. One of the greatest blessings is to see all of God's people prosper. The church is bigger than you, the church is bigger than me, thank God. And God's blessing on the church is your blessing as well. Of course, this part of the prayer looks back to an earlier psalm of ascent, Psalm 122, and gathering with God's people. I wonder if you can remember the challenge from that psalm. Do you pray for this church? Do you long to see Cambrai prosper? Do you long to see the people of this church thrive and flourish? These are the questions that praying blessing amongst God's people makes us ask. These are the questions that we must ask. But third, may you live to see your children's children. This prayer says, may God bless you with a long and fulfilling life, particularly with respect to grandchildren. Again, perhaps a little bit of interpretation needed for today, but remember, in the fifth commandment, God promised a long life and a good life to those who honor their father and mother. Now here, that promise is both for long life and the continuation of your family. Many of you here know the blessings of having grandchildren. So here's an application. Make sure you tell others, not just, oh, I love my grandchildren, but also, I thank God that he has blessed me with grandchildren. I thank God that he's blessed me with length of life to see and to know my children's children. And then, of course, there is the ongoing lifelong challenge of passing on our faith to our children and to our grandchildren. May God bless us and may God help us with that. We need God's help. And so we find this beautiful prayer of blessing in Psalm 128 for those who fear the Lord and are blessed in their work, in their marriage, and in their home. And we find that God blesses us all the days of our life. He blesses us within the community of his people, and he blesses us with a long and fulfilling life that we might see our children's children. Now, you might be wondering this evening, well, that's all well and that's all good, but what if I don't have such an ideal life of blessing? What if I don't have the perfect family? What if I don't have the perfect home? Well, first of all, welcome to the club. But second, in holding up the ideal of family here, this psalm points beyond, doesn't it, our broken, sinful families here on earth to the perfect and beautiful family of God's family in heaven, which will one day be God's family here on earth, made perfect through the Lord Jesus' death and resurrection, guaranteeing our future resurrection. God may or may not bless you with marriage, or may or may not bless you with children in this life, but either way, the promise of this psalm remains: blessed are all who fear the Lord. Blessed are all who know the new creation found in the Lord Jesus, and following him, fearing him, living, walking in his ways. God has promised to bless all who fear him and walk in his ways with a fulfilling, productive, wholesome life. When you long for the same things that God longs for, you will see your desires fulfilled. You will be blessed. Remember, that means you'll be happy. That should be our aim in life, living under God's blessedness, living under God's happiness. You know, in the mountain kingdom of Bhutan, they do not measure their country's prosperity in GDP, gross domestic product, the value of all the goods and services produced in the economy in a year. But instead, since 1971, they've based government policy on increasing GDH, gross domestic happiness. Now, this psalm teaches us that GDH is not an end in itself, but it comes as a byproduct, a result of fearing the Lord, walking in his ways. It teaches us that there's a direct relationship between our attitudes and our actions and God's blessing in our life. It means that God's blessing is available to everyone here, and we can choose to welcome God's blessing in this life, or we can choose to chase it away. And it all comes down to whether or not we choose to fear the Lord and choose to walk in his ways. So I'm going to read this psalm just one last time. Maybe just listen, soak it in. Once again, receive from it, after which I'll leave a silence for our own response. A song of ascents. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots round your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel.